drawing room over here.
Are you on the list? Oh, doesn't matter. Come on in. Here, have one of these. Now, concept album, there's a thing, it's a tricky and elaborate idea. How about if you times that by three? That is the task that Ben Cooper set himself. You may know him by this performance bandy kind of name, Radical Face. He clearly is a man who doesn't like to do things the easy way. And joins us in the drawing room. Ben, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
What an amazing idea. Trilogy. Roots, branches, leaves. Three albums of intertwined stories. Give us what's the backstory here? What was the originating thought?
Well, I think it goes back to, one, I do like concept records. I realize that's kind of a dirty word to a lot of people.
What's your favorite?
Well, I think it really originated with Pink Floyd, and I grew up listening to them a lot, and I always liked how it had such a, big bombastic theme to it. And, but this one actually came about because when I was 19, I wanted to be a writer. I wrote two books when I was out of high school, and it was my first computer, and I'd never backed up anything, and the computer crashed, and I lost both of them.
That is the worst feeling in the entire known universe. How did you survive that?
So that was, I understood for the first time what laugh or cry really means. Like, I had to do something, and I just started laughing hysterically, and I actually broke the computer with a hammer.
How many years of writing was in there?
About a year and a half. Of, at least 5 hours a day.
You probably saved yourself from, incredibly bad 19-year-old novels.
Well, that's the thing. See, I am now old enough to know that they are probably garbage, but...
Doesn't matter!
At the time, it didn't matter. It was still kind of devastating. So it's what pushed me into music. And I think I've just always held on to this idea that I wanted to write a family saga. I've always liked books like East of Eden from Steinbeck and 100 Years of Solitude and all these kind of big multi-generational sagas. So, you
record at home.
Yeah.
Do you back up?
Yeah. Now I'm a little crazy about it. And I've got like five hard drives, cloud storage. It's like anywhere I can make a copy, it'll go
there.
So I haven't learned that lesson twice because I'm not that stupid. But
because Radical Face... been around a little bit, and the concept trio, triptych, is kind of, mid-career kind of idea. I mean, you were just playing songs unattached before that, yeah?
Yeah, or I would have small themes and stuff, but this was really me just kind of nerding out totally. This is the kind of way I think. I really like interconnected details and complicated patterns and systems, and so this is me just saying, screw it. Let's go down the rabbit hole. And I definitely got pushback at first. Like, the labels I was talking to were super not interested. And
memories of Genesis sort of going through their heads. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that's not one that you pitch. And people are like, great.
I can see the single already.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is really universal.
Well, except that it's a big story. Why is this not an attractive thing? This is personal. This is full of character. This is full of interlinked themes. That is complex, but really interesting.
I think if I can get past the general patience barrier that most people have, I think I do okay. But
maybe you should have pitched it as a book.
That was probably smarter, but too late. I already wasted 8 years. So,
okay. So tell us how then this idea of conceptualizing works, and is it just about story? Is it just about narrative through songs, or is it about musical devices as well?
It's both. It was things like I would come up with themes for family lines that would work within certain chord structures. And so that way, when the next generation has a song, it'll have familiar, sometimes melodic lines. I kind of had this big web drawn out of how I would do it. And it was also just a good way to hide in plain sight for me that I was a, you can write about characters, but you can also secretly write about all your own crap and hide it in there, and it feels a little safer. So there was definitely some live therapy, if you will.
Okay. Let's get to your own crap in a sec. But before that, the planning process of that is fascinating. So you go into this 8-year process with a pretty good idea of how you're going to come out the other end.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was going to be 3. That was very naive. And originally it was only going to be about 21 songs. It was going to be 7 interconnected little EPs. And then it just kept going. Ended up with 45 songs written after throwing out the ones I didn't like. And then what do I do with this? And so, yeah, it turned into kind of like that scene from A Beautiful Mind where you just have post-it notes all over the place and I look like an insane person. But it became really absorbing and fascinating until it became overwhelming and kind of a nightmare at times. But yeah, I really had it all planned probably in the first 2 years, and then it just took a long time to execute.
Did it in any respect surprise you along the way?
Yeah. Probably the biggest thing that showed up over the course of it was really just how much endurance it took. It was nice to have a framework for a while, and then it really quickly became a cage at times. Where you just...
Did you ever doubt the idea? Did you ever think halfway through, oh my God, this is just rubbish, why am I doing this?
Oh, yeah, totally. Plenty of times.
Of course.
No, absolutely. There are times that I was like, why? Why have I done why don't I just write a song? What did I do? But in the end, I was proud I made it to the end. That was probably my biggest sense of achievement, was just that I stuck it out.
Yeah. Ben Cooper stuck it out. He is the main face behind Radical Face, the band, and has completed a trio of conceptually related albums, and they contain a bit of his own shit, don't they, Ben? As previously discussed.
No, it became more and more...
A bit therapeutic?
Sometimes. It became, over the course of it, by the end, there's some that I am the narrator. Like, I couldn't kind of fake it anymore. It felt dishonest. And
this is me. This is a true story.
Yeah. And I wound up writing a few songs that I know I'm never going to play them again. Like, I'm not going to play them live. They're off limits. Once was enough. Because that's the trick. You think you're getting it off your chest, and then you go tour, and you get to talk about it every night.
Well, yeah. So when you take something out like that and put it into that context where everybody's going to go, yay, at the end, and you have to feel it every night anew, that must be incredibly, well, draining.
It is. It's one of those things where it's the nice thing is I think you can connect with people. I've always believed that if you write about the core experience and you strip away the details, everyone understands, you know, joy, sadness, grief, rejection. All those things are very universal. So as long as I don't say who I'm experiencing those things with, I think you can share them. But then, you know, I know. And so every night, yeah, people can be like, oh, I love that song. I love to drive and listen to it or something. And I'm like, that's about a friend of mine that's dead. So it's a...
So I'm happy for you, but...
I'm glad it works that way, but yeah, for me, I don't want to think about it every night.
Jonathan Green with you in the drawing room, Ben Cooper with us, and Ben, you're going to play for us, and I'm assuming it will not be one of the deep, dark, never-to-be-revealed songs. It will be something for more general exhibition.
This one's just mildly traumatic. It's not... It's halfway. It's 50-50.
What's it called?
It's called The Ship in Port. And some say our dreams are a distant road, down which our hearts would like to go. But I have always stayed in place, under that old illusion that it's safe. You said the ship in port is a safer one, but it's not the reason it was made. So forgive me if I wander off then forgive me more if I just stay. And sing another song for the lost ones, 'cause we're the ones who need it the most. Every time you run, it'll cost you, but it doesn't stop us running if a coward dies a thousand times. Then there's a graveyard in my head, because it took me years to say the word that you did not even need said. And sing another song for the lost ones, we're the ones who need it the most. Nothing that you fear is forgotten, it follows you around life. Everything danced to a stranger tune. And we found our song, and we found our truth. And now that we know, it's that we always knew. Farewell to the chains we were born into. And then we danced among the ashes of our lives and laughed it off. And then we burned our tiny worlds and found the ocean just beyond those paper walls.
Ship in Port there from Ben Cooper. Radical Face is the band. And Ben has completed a trio of interconnected concept albums. What's that one about, Ben? I mean, give us the story there.
That one is half personal. It's my own fear of moving on. There was a point in my life when I really should have probably listened to my gut, and I didn't. I stayed and I waited, and it just all got worse. So, But eventually, it all kind of went up in flames on its own, and I did end up leaving. So. I was using that as the core experience. And then I wrapped it into a character, part of this family tree. But yeah, that one was definitely half personal.
What do you do after you do an 8-year interconnected conceptual trilogy project? What comes after that? I guess this will be your ukulele cover record or.
Yeah. It's really at this point I'm at the. I just want instant gratification. I don't want any any long-term investment. So I'm doing a year of just EPs, like all short form. Okay. I just did a little 3-song one. I'm finishing a 4-song one now. Things that I can get the idea out, I can release it, and I can, you know, never look at it again if I don't want to. So I am now back to the drawing board, and I don't really know where I'm headed. I'm giving
kind of
my
nice.
Yeah, so I'm doing like this.
That must
story.
Be nice after knowing exactly where you were headed for 8 years. That uncertainty must be a great joy.
It's actually really fun. Like now I can just delete songs if I don't like them. Like, you know, it's like I don't have to make them work. So yeah, I'm into it.
Just the way in which people sort of access modern music, I mean, does that sort of undermine something like a big concept package? You know, we tend to just, you know, hear songs, download a song. It's we can often disconnect music from a concept like that.
Yeah, I mean, I know from talking to any kind of marketer that their general assumption was you're screwed. this is really a lot. Like, it took you 10 minutes to explain it all to me, and that's not going to fly. But I've found that I always responded to records. I always liked, you know, you would hear that song that would get you interested. But
yeah.
I was always excited when I sat down with the whole album, and I found out that there was a lot more to it. It wasn't.
Do you think
just,
people still do that a lot? I mean, sit down with the whole album, having heard the, you know, the one track on Spotify, and then you get the whole thing and wade through.
Realistically, no. But I think you're seeing a resurgence of vinyl, which is a format of inconvenience. It's actually very annoying to skip songs on a vinyl. So
yeah.
I'm seeing more people buying records and falling in love with, you know, side two. They're starting to realize, like, oh, there was so much more than the one song I heard on the playlist. And so I think it's there, and I don't think it'll totally go away, but right now, no, that is not the trend.
Let's go back a bit into vinyl time, and the track you're going to play, because we do in this segment of The Drawing Room. Our musician guests bring some music with them, and Ben has done precisely that, and I am delighted with what you've chosen. Tell us about you and Nick Drake, Ben.
So Nick Drake, he is one of the people that made me realize that I need to be a better songwriter. I heard the record Pink Moon, and I think there's one overdub on the whole record, and it's on the first track, and it's Pink Moon. He has a little piano. And when I discovered this album, it's him and a guitar, and it's all it needed. It was one of those things that I was used to, when a song's not working, just throw more sounds at it. And, you know,
dig yourself in deeper to the hole.
Yeah, actually, that was all I was doing. And it was just one of those things. I sat down, I listened to it, and I was like, front to back, I love this thing. And
So you probably hate Five Leaves Left.
No, I still really like it. It's still very good, but it didn't strike me the way that one did. That being a more
complex Nick Drake record.
Yeah, it's more complex. It's more arranged, and that stuff is good. But I found the more I got to just him playing and singing, the more I liked it. And it was it's kind of cool when you can strip away all the details, and it's only stronger. And so. Yeah, it was one of those records that really just made me rethink what I was doing, and also was like, you need to get better at guitar.
What's the song we're going to hear?
This is Road.
Ben, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Ben Cooper, he's from Radical Face. He's been our Drawing Room guest tonight, touring around the country, from around now, later into June. And his musical pick, Nick Drake and Road.
You can say the sun is shining if you're ready. When do I can see the moon and I see myself here? You can take a road that takes you to the stars. Now I can take a road that'll see me through. I can take a road that'll see me through.
And that was Road by Nick Drake, a song chosen by our Drawing Room musical guest, Ben Cooper, from Radical Face.